So, my talk today is will be on quantum chaos and quantum computing. Is this fine? Yeah. These are the people with whom we have done the work I will describe today. But before doing this, in the spirit of this workshop, I will discuss some aspect of quantum chaos, which can be relevant to the field of quantum computation. Actually, quantum chaos has been a very controversial subject for many years. People kept asking, but what does it mean, quantum chaos? What does it exist or not, and so on. And this was the same situation which happened to the classical chaos many years ago. I remember when I organized the first conference in 1977 in Italy on classical chaos, such was chaos in classical and quantum system. And after 1 week of discussion, the last day, one physicist, one participant, actually was coming from this part of the world, stand up and ask, can somebody in the audience tell me what is some definition of chaos? So it was the same situation. And actually, about quantum chaos, what we would like to do is to understand as much as possible of quantum motion, which go beyond the simple perturbation theory or simple integral model like hydrogen atom and the like. And basically what we need is to have some statistical description of quantum system, and so far we have a large number of empirical results, numerical results. There is analogy with other fields like random matrix theory, disordered solids. There is semi-classical theory like periodic orbits and so on, but basically what we don't know yet is what to expect when we quantize a dynamical system. So what we need actually is a statistical theory of quantum motion, which we do not have. And this is also not surprising because it took about 100 years to build a theory of classical ergodic theory. So it's not surprising that also in quantum mechanics, which is more complicated, still we do not have such a theory. Now about classical chaos, the situation seems to be sufficiently clear. Namely, as everybody knows here in the audience, classical chaos is characterized by one fact, which is exponential instability of motion, local exponential instability. Namely, if you take two nearby orbits, they separate exponentially with time. Or more precisely, if you look at the variational equation and look at the tangent vector, it grows exponentially. So it means that this is lambda, is the rate of exponential growth, and it is called Lyapunov exponent. Now, why should we insist so much about exponential instability? I mean, among the different possible infinite instability that there are in classical mechanics, why do we want just exponential instability and not any other? Why not any other is good? Actually, this goes back to a theorem of Alexeyev and Brunov, which say that if there is exponential instability, then the motion becomes unpredictable. It becomes unpredictable in the sense that if you want to predict a new segment of trajectory, you need an information which is proportional to this segment. So it means that you cannot extract information from the observation of the previous motion of the orbit. So in this sense, it is called motion which is exponentially unstable, it is called random or chaotic or unpredictable. This is the idea. Still the question open, and namely one would ask, well, what is the relevance of this exponential instability to physics, to statistical description like diffusion coefficient, transport coefficient, and so what is the relevance? And basically, do we need at all exponential instable motion for a meaningful statistical description? This is also a question. So why is this, we need such an exponential instability? So this, I make some few remarks about this. First remark is that the condition lambda greater than zero, which is just the condition for chaos in classical mechanics, is not time invariant. As according to theorem, is Conway, Fohm, and Sinai, the only properties which is invariant under change of time invariant is ergodicity. So, for example, to give a simple example, a very trivial example. If you take a rotation by an angle, this is a most trivial example of a very regular interval motion. Still, if you make a observation of the phases at time tn equal to 2 tdn and make a change of variable, this transformation becomes this one, which is a typical example of a chaotic transformation. Multiplication by 2 is just an example of unstable, completely random. Actually, it can be used to generate random numbers, this transformation. So it means that if you change time scale, the logarithmic time scale, you can go from stable, from linearly instability to exponential instability, and so on. So this, I want to stress this, because sometimes there is a confusion on this point, and one should keep in mind that this is not invariant under change of time scale. Second point is that exponential instability of motion implies continuous spectrum of the motion. And this is important, because if you have in discrete spectrum, you can have only at most linear instability. You can have more, you can have an instability which is not faster than linear if the spectrum is discrete. So you need, with exponential instability, you have continuous spectrum, and continuous spectrum is what implies decay of correlation, which is just what we need. I mean, this property is called, in ergodic theory, is called mixing, and it is the properties which provides statistical independence of different parts of a trajectory. And because of this, this is a condition for to apply probability theory. Yes?
Could you elaborate a little on what you mean by continuous spectrum of the motion?
Yeah, it's just the Fourier transform of the correlation function. It's the spectrum of the motion. If you take a set of harmonic oscillator, you have a discrete spectrum. You have one harmonic, there is one frequency. If you take n, you have n frequency. Yeah? And this is just the...
So the frequency is a classical oscillation.
Yes, exactly. The classical motion. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes, at least. But the, yeah, okay. Actually, there is such a question. Do we need exponential instability for a real meaningful statistical description, or it is sufficient a weaker property, like mixing? I mean, it can be sufficient a power law instability or linear instability or not? This is a question, and this question is still open. I can give you a very interesting example. If you want to obtain, which is open, by the way, not solved, is an old problem in physics, is derivation of Fourier law of weak conductivity without any statistical assumption, on the basis just of dynamical law. If you think at this problem, then you can show, for example, in this case, if you take a circle, circular scatterer, if you take an orbit moving inside here, so you know that this system is chaotic, is positively Lyapunov exponent, is mixing and so on. And if you put a thermal bath here, and you ask about the energy flow, whether it is proportional or not to the temperature gradient, this is Fourier law. So can you prove this or not? Without putting other assumptions. So in this case, it can be shown that Fourier law is valid, but this case is a case in which there is exponential instability, so there is chaos. Now the question is, suppose that instead of circle I put very regular polygons here, and they do the same. Then this system, I know by theorem that there is zero Lyapunov exponent, there is no exponential instability. The question is still whether there will be Fourier law or not in such a system. So this kind of problem are still open. Let's go back. Yeah. Is there any relation between the rate of exponential instability and physical quantity like the rate of correlation decay or diffusion coefficient and so on? This is another point about which frequency there is a lot of confusion in the literature, so it is better to have a clear idea, because it is important for quantum mechanics. Fidelity is one quantum which is related to this, for example. So let us make, there is no relation, in principle, contrary to what usually people assume, and you can take a very simple example. One example is you take the standard model of chaotic motion, which is used in this mesoscopic physics and so on, quantum dots, a stadium. A stadium is, by theorem, it is proved that the Lyapunov exponent is positive. Still, if you want to compute in this system, for example, correlation function and so on, you find that correlation function decay as 1 over t. always. And you can, while the coefficient of exponential instability changes, when you change the length of the stadium, the correlation decay is always this. It is not related to the KS entropy, to the dynamical entropy, or to the Lyapunov exponent. There is no relation. Second observation is concerning the possible relation with diffusion coefficient. Also here, there is no relation at all. You can have diffusion in a model, in classical system, without any exponential instability. You don't need exponential instability. And a nice example which we have found is the following. It is just the very simple map which you can study very, very easily. Let me see if I forget something. Okay. So if you take this map, this is an area preserving map. Determinant is 1, trace is 2, and there is the instability here is linear. There is only linear instability in this model. So Lyapunov exponent is 0. Still, if you look at the motion in y there on the cylinder, so x is modulus 2, is like, is modulus 2. If you look at the cylinder minus infinite plus infinite, then you find that there is a perfect diffusion. This is a very accurate result of numerical experiment on this system. Here is time. Here is p square. I mean, the is the same y square. Yeah, it's just a constant. And you see, there is a very nice, perfectly linear diffusion with some coefficient diffusion coefficient d. And if you look at the distribution of momentum variable, it results a perfect Gaussian. So this is a distribution at different time. This increase in time, and you see the points are numerical, but the curve here are not fitting a numerical point, are just theoretical Gaussian drawn with diffusion coefficient derived from here. So you see, this is an interesting example in which you can see that there is really good diffusion and no exponential instability. I wanted to stress this point because the things, just to say, the things are not connected.
So
you need
an invariant measuring.
Yes, this is invariant.
Yeah.
An invariant
it
map.
Must be ergodic.
It must be ergodic and mixing.
This, when you reduce it on one unit cell.
On the torus, yeah.
It's a map like a homeomorphism of the circle.
Yeah, it's very simple. The only thing you need is that alpha and beta must be irrational. So it's just a very simple area preserving map, as people study all the time. But it is not exponentially unstable. Still, it gives this property. Okay, so let's go to quantum. Quantum chaos is, as I said at the beginning, it was very controversial, this problem. People say, well, what is this? And the reason of this is quite trivial, at the beginning at least. The difficulty was in the fact that if you take a conservative system, whether it is integral or chaotic from the classical point of view, the spectrum is always discrete. And so it looks like it belongs to the discrete spectrum as an example of very regular interval motion in classical ergodic theory. So a very trivial example is this one. Take two classical billiard, a circle and the stadium. The classical motion inside these two objects is very different. Here is regular, is interval, here is completely chaotic. But when you quantize, you have a discrete set of eigenfunction and eigenvalue, and the wave function always right as a superposition of this discrete set of it looks like that there is no difference. It doesn't distinguish between the stadium and the circle. But the point is that there is a correspondence principle which require transition to classical mechanics of all quantity, including chaos. So it means that there must be something in such a way that we go to the classical limit, one obtains two different, completely different motion. And indeed, the explanation of this, what is appear to be not a paradox, but some look like as a paradox, is in the fact that there are different time scales in the quantum motion. And on this different scale, the quantum motion can be as chaotic as the classical one, and the point is that the time scale goes to infinite as h bar goes to zero. In other words, the distinction between discrete and continuous spectrum, actually it is meaning, it becomes sharp only when t goes to infinite. But on finite time scale, you can have whatever, you can have all the chaos you want, and this is indeed the case. And I want to make a pedagogical illustration of this, just to show what happened to less expert in the field here, just to make an example. So suppose you take a map, and suppose you take at time t equals zero, you take a classical density of point, and then you take the Wigner function and Rusini function in the same area, and that makes the evolution at time t. So at time t, what we will see, we will see that the classical point will spread out, because suppose this is a chaotic system, it is spread out, and this so there is a exponential separation, there is phase mixing, and there in momentum here, in this variable, it's called momentum variable, there is a diffusion process starting, yeah, like I showed before. There is mixing on the phases and diffusion on the cylinder. Yeah. The question is, what will do the Rusini function or the Wigner function as time goes on, as time proceeds from t equals zero to t equals infinite? How will it appear? So to give just a short illustration of this, let's take an error-preserving map, very simple. Start with this a set of classical points here, and start with the quantum packet, and make the evolution. After three kicks, you see that the distribution of classical points is here, and the quantum packet try to follow the classical, because the classical orbit separate exponentially. According to RFS principle, the packet try to follow the beam of classical orbit until they are far away. So this determines the time scale, which we have called random time scale, which is 1 over lambda. Lambda is the exponent of exponential instability, and Q is some semi-classical parameter combination of h bar, let's say dimensionless h bar. Yeah? So this is a very short time scale. Then if you proceed integration, the classical point spreads out, the Wigner function breaks out in many pieces, and then as you go on with the time, you know what happened, because what happens is plotted here. This is a time, this is a later time. You see that the classical distribution of point keeps spreading as expected, but the quantum distribution is frozen, remain frozen around some area. And this is the phenomenon of quantum dynamical localization, which is very important thing, which is, it means that the quantum distribution freezes, it stops there, and is a phenomenon which is similar to what happens in disordered solids. This localization, we said that this is the no disorder, there is nothing disordered here, we have dynamical motion. This localization in momentum space. And this was also was quite controversial subject. This was discovered in back to 77. And the first experimental verification of this localization took place, as far as I know, in a hydrogen atom, in an experiment done practically about 10 years later by Peter Koch on hydrogen atom under some external field. They found that this breakdown of classical dynamics, which means quantum localization. A year later also was found by Bayfield in Pittsburgh, again was observed the same phenomenon of quantum localization in atoms, and later on in 95, this was already shown by Dima, was observed in different models in cold atoms. This was really, actually this they simulated the original system in which localization was found, namely the Kick rotator or the standard map, experimentally. So that's okay. So there is such a quantum diffusion like the classical, and there is quantum diffusion suppression suppression of diffusion due to quantum mechanics. But the relaxation, so there is relaxation in quantum mechanics to a state which is not ergodic but is localized state. Yeah? And what I want to stress is that this quantum diffusion and relaxation is different from the classical one because it is dynamically stable. This has been already somehow illustrated by Dima in his talk last week. on a model of just tandem map, I want to show here a different illustration on a physical model like the hydrogen atom. Now, if you take the hydrogen atom under, so this is an hydrogen atom under, this hydrogen atom you put under some periodic field, a microwave field. Here is principal quantum number. So if you start the time t equals 0, giving the probability to a given n equal 100, so you put Cn, you excite only the level 100, the t equals 0. Then you make the atom interact with the external field, and then probability spreads over the other level, and this is the distribution you obtain at probability at time t equals 60. So the black point is the classical, this clear one are the quantum, they oscillate, but still they are close to the classical. So there is diffusion of excitation on the unperturbed energy level of the atoms at time t equals 60. Now, at this time you can revert the system, change t to the minus t, and then the system goes back, and see what happens at time t equals 120. So since the classical motion is chaotic and unstable, the diffusive process will continue, but the quantum motion will come back. Even probability, which is gone to the continuum, come back to the continuum and goes to the initial state, n equal 100. And this is, you see, is the result of this, at time t equal 120. So you see that the classical keep diffusing, but the quantum will come back exactly on the initial level, n equal 100. So this is an illustration that quantum motion is, there is relaxation, like the classical and diffusion, but the quantum motion is stable. Is a stable diffusion. This, by the way, means two things. First, that exponential instability is not necessary for statistical description, because here we have relaxation to some stationary state and without exponential instability. And also, that statistical relaxation can be exponential. You can have exponential relaxation, but this doesn't mean that there is exponential instability in the system. Very frequently one can see paper trying to relate quantum motion to the classical Lyapunov exponent, yeah, to characterize in some sense what is called quantum chaos. So what I want to say that some relaxation even can be exponential, but it doesn't mean that there is exponential, the dynamic is exponentially unstable. The second point is that this quantum diffusion localization, which we have shown in time perturbed system, can take place also in conservative system. So it is not limited to time dependent, but if you take a conservative system, you can have localization. And this can be very well illustrated on a very simple and clear example again, and it is, I take again the stadium, because we are coming close now to the problem we want to discuss with quantum computing. So this stadium, it is known as an example of a system which is completely chaotic, and which is described by random matrix theory in quantum mechanics. Actually, if one looks carefully...
There's a pointer.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So suppose you take a stadium with a small part of the straight segment, then it is known that the Kolmogorov, the Lyapunov exponent is proportional to square root of epsilon, but it's still positive, small but positive. And then, well, maybe the best thing to describe is to look at the map at each boundary here, the classical motion. Yeah? So you introduce angular momentum, and theta is the polar angle here, so you write a map, and the map becomes a map of this type. So it's an error preserving map. The approximate form of the f theta is this one. So this is the f function, and this is an approximate description of the stadium for small epsilon. Actually, this model is very close to the well-known model studied in nonlinear dynamics, which is famous model, which is called the Chouteau map, in which instead of having this curve, we have straight line. About this map, a lot of things are known, because it is studied by mathematicians and numerical and so on, so we know everything. So studying at this map or this map, we can have information also on the stadium. And this map is what I'm going to solve with our quantum computing procedure. So I will discuss, it's just the work we have done here, just look at this map. So what do you expect in this situation? Suppose you start in your stadium with a beam on orbit with angular momentum L equals 0, time t equals 0. Then what do you expect to happen? Since the system is mixing, you expect that this probability density to relax and go to the microcanonical distribution. This is mathematically exact, is a theorem. Because it is mixing, it must go to this microcanonical distribution and time goes on. For a short time, this approach to the microcanonical distribution, it is diffusive. Namely, that this packet here, if you start at time t equals 0 here, it will start spreading and diffusing like a Gaussian, and the width of this, it increases like dt. So it's just linear diffusion. The only point is that the diffusion coefficient is not proportional to epsilon square, but to epsilon phi over 2. So there is diffusion here, a mechanism of diffusion, but somehow the diffusion is low down. It's smaller than expected. And the reason of this is that it is known that in such a system, in the standard map or in the stadium, there are cantori. And these cantori, they just slow down the diffusive process. Cantori are what are called the remnant of tori of the interval system. And you can very easily see in the stadium. So here is an example. Here is the angular momentum. Here is the arc, length of the arc. And you see, starting with one orbit here, after you plot the position of the orbit after many collisions, you know that the system is mixing undergoing, so this point must fill uniformly this phase space. But if you stop at some larger time, you see this structure of cantori. Yeah? So there is diffusion, but probability has to go through the cantori holes, and it takes more time. And this is a classical property, but you expect that it will influence quantum mechanics. Eigenfunction must fill this structure, and indeed they do. And for example, this is a structure of associated eigenfunction, which we see that they are constant along the size of classical cantori. So these are determined by classical size of cantori, and then they decrease. So this is an effect of cantori. And now what about when you quantize? So as I said, in the classical case, you have diffusion until you reach the microcanonical distribution. But in the quantum case, you expect localization in this case. And I want to say that if you have localization, you have deviation from random matrix theory, from all this standard tool that are used in discussing this. You may have localization, then whether you have really localization or not, it depends on the localization length, whether it is larger or equal to the sample size, as usually in solid state physics. If localization length is much less than the sample size, which is square root of V, is the maximum value, then you have localization. Otherwise, you can never go this way, extend the state. And one point I want to stress, because I think it is interesting to observe in this case, this is an example of a packet started here, it diffuses. So in the classical case, it goes to the microcanonical distribution you see here. In the quantum case, it localizes, and this is localization length. So this is a typical situation which takes place in a stadium, is the dynamic. So you see, here you see real localization in respect to the total length. But because I look in angular momentum space, if I look in the energy space, I look at the called strength function of L dos, I have a completely different picture. If I take an exact eigenfunction of the stadium and make expansion on the circle eigenstate, I have a sparsity. So the localization, the dynamical localization here, manifests in the structure of the L dos as a sparsity. When localization length increases, and become larger and larger, sparsity here decreases, but when it reaches the localization, all the levels are inside the energy shell. So I want to say to state that there is this point that you don't excite all the state because of localization in Anglo-Romanian. And this is typical, because what is here is a typical conservative chaotic system. This I want to say, it's nothing peculiar. It's just a typical generic system.
You don't name the number of publications in Home Tales or the year 98, 99, 2000?
No, these are well. So, now it is easy to compute the localization or delocalization or transition to metallic regime. It is very simple because you can estimate localization length, as I say, is equal to diffusion coefficient, which is epsilon phi over 2. The sample size is square root of energy. So, the border for transition to quantum ergodicity in such conservative system is given by this one. It means that the energy of eigenfunction for a given epsilon must be high enough in order to have ergodicity, quantum ergodicity. But there are other borders. The next border is Cantori. Cantori, they slow down the classical diffusive motion, but they may completely stop the quantum motion. And there is a theory which tells us that the flux is completely, the quantum motion is completely stopped, namely Cantori, they act as perfect barrier. If the flux which go through Cantori at each iteration of the map is less than h bar. So you can compute this, in this case it is possible, and you find this border. So this is the border for Cantori. Then you have perturbative border. This is easy. Perturbative border simply means that the length of the stride segment in the stadium must be comparable with the wavelength of the eigenfunction. Yeah, 1 over k. So this is the other border. So, to sum up, you have all this border. You have a cipherid plot 1 over epsilon, and then, in log-log scale, I have the perturbative border, I have the Cantori border, a localization border. So quantum chaos apply only here. Now, well, it is true that if you fix epsilon and let n goes to infinity, you always go in this region. But it depends which way you take. Yeah, if I move in this direction, then there is no random matrix theory and so on. I have different regimes, which are very complicated. So you see that, like a simple model like this, so to map, how it is complicated. And I want to say the SOTU map, if you take k equal 1, is just the Arnold-Cat map. It's the standard which is usually known textbook, is the Cat map. Yeah? And so you see this complication. Since it is the Cat map, it is right what was written on Santa Barbara News 2 days ago, that cats require careful ending. Yeah? Because it must be, this is classic, but quantum cats also are very, must be very careful. And then you may check a lot of things, and for example, you may look at the usual thing, like the statistic of level spacing. You take the level, look at the separation of level, look at probability to be the distance to be S. For the stadium, everybody expects Wiener-Dyson, yeah, Wiener statistic. You see that is not the case. Actually, here, if I take. Eigenfunction is 250,000, so I'm very high in the spectrum. 200,000 state, I take some interval at this high level, and you see that you may have the Cantori regime, in which you have the perturbative regime, which is close to Wiener-Dyson, you have the Cantori to Poisson, sorry, the Cantori regime also close to Wiener-Dyson, and then you have to increase perturbation in order to obtain. Well, here it is not even here. You cannot see by Wiener. You have to go very high in the spectrum. You are already 200,000. So you see that you don't see Wiener-Dyson, but you see a distribution which is close to Poisson. And so, as is written here, Wiener-Dyson distribution here is valid. Namely, random matrix theory is valid only in this region. Yeah. So this Wiener-Dyson, the fact that in this chaotic system you expect, in this, like the stadium, you expect this Wiener-Dyson distribution, which is usually called BCS conjecture, Boyega's Janone-Smith conjecture. So since this is an informal talk, is a lunch, very informal, I want to see, to show you something which goes back, not to 84, but to 80, which is a paper which appeared on Lettera Nuovo Cimento in 1980. Which is, the title is on the connection between quantization of integral system and statistical theory of spectra, which was done by our group in Italy. And we took just the stadium and we compute, but we have very poor computer at this time. K-ray was not yet invented in 79. Actually, it started operating in Livermore maybe in the 80. And at this time, so we had very dirty result, yeah. And so the result was not so good, but the conjecture, it was just written, there's no achievement, but nobody read this journal, so. Okay, so this is, I introduced this, some few facts about quantum chaos, and I describe you the SOTU map. And so now I come to how to describe the last part, this our work. So we took as a model of quantum computer, we took a system of qubit in a lattice. And so this is the Hamiltonian, and because there are unavoidable imperfections in the system, we take gamma I as delta I plus delta I, delta 0 plus delta I, which represent fluctuation in the single energy, in the distance between the energy of a single qubit. So delta I is very small interval, and also we take some residual interaction near short range only, also we consider more, so which is varying some interval minus j plus j, and we take delta and j small, so we take very small imperfection. Now if you take j equals 0 here, then you have this unperturbed system, so you have the non-interacting eigenstate, which are the quantum register state, and these states are organized in bands, yeah, in n bands, you have n qubits, so you have n bands, and the total number of states, the total number of state is 2 to the n, which means that the number of states in each band is 2 to the n divided n, and so the spacing between levels is exponentially small in n, basically, because it's 2 to the minus n. And now this argument, which was presented and found already discussed by Dima in his talk, is the following, that what happens is that the number of, because the interaction is only two bodies, short-range interaction, so the each multi-qubit state, register state, interact with only a number n of other multi-qubit states, so basically the distance is only delta divided n, it goes like 1 over n. And now there is a usual traditional argument. So you have the interaction J, matrix element, you have the energy spacing delta, and basically, well, some rough arguments say that when these two things are equal, this is a condition, roughly, for transition to chaos in the quantum system. But let us look in more detail to this system. So one thing to look, even if it is not a theorem, in the sense the transition from Poisson to Wiener-Dyson, even here the situation is empirical. We don't have rigorous result, but it looks it works. The transition from Poisson to Wiener somehow it means transition to quantum chaotic motion. So we take the distribution P of S, so S is the level spacing, we compute P of S for our system, and this is the result. So what you see is the following, that if the interaction is small, this you observe Poisson distribution. If it is large, this square, you observe close to Wiener-Dyson. If it is intermediate, you observe some intermediate distribution. Yeah? As expected, somehow, so there is a transition for some value of J over delta from Poisson to Wiener-Dyson. So let us quantify this. To quantify this, one way, the way we have chosen is the following. So we introduce some parameter eta, which you have some actual distribution P of S, and you subtract the Wiener distribution divided the Poisson minus Wiener. So the integral here is made from 0 to S0. So you have the Poisson, you have the Wiener, you have intersection point. So this integral is made from 0 to S0. So this means that if nu is equal to 1, so nu, you have your actual distribution, you compute nu. If nu is close to 1, you have Poisson. If it's close to 0, you have Wiener Dyson. Yeah. So this is a parameter which you use to characterize how far we are from one distribution or the other. And so what you see here is the result. You see that, so these curves, they go from 1 to 0 as you increase the perturbation. So you go from integral regime to chaotic regime. And you notice that as you increase the number of qubits, so there is an intersection point here. As you increase the number of qubits, the transition becomes sharper and sharper. We cannot go higher, but this leaves the hope that in the thermodynamic limit you have something like this, which gives you, this is a way to try to find out the critical value, a border, yeah? Is the way we can do numerically. So this is about 3.7, this is the point here, which make a transition from interval to chaotic. So in some sense this can be, it confirmed the estimate which was found by Giorgio and Cipriaschi, and it gives also the value 3.7. Now one can look what happens here. Well, one knows that in this situation, even if it is not, this is not completely rigorous, but there are some doubt here, but anyway, if you are in this chaotic regime, each state is composed by many, by a large number of register states. There is a bright winner width, which is usually rho v square, is the estimate of the bright winner. So it means that there is a chaotic time scale which is 1 over gamma. So this is the time up to which your computer can operate, in which you can see your register state, and then you have to introduce some error correcting codes, otherwise the computation is no more good. But, so, let us see. We have seen the transition from Poisson to Wiener, but what does it mean in terms of thermalization, this transition? So let us do the following. We compute the occupation number of our distribution, so psi k are the register state, phi m are the exact state with eigenvalue m, and we compute the occupation number, ni. Yeah? So we have an eigenstate we can numerically compute, and then we can compare this with the Fermi-Dirac distribution. The numerical distribution compared with the theoretical Fermi-Dirac. Now, since we are looking at the central band, in the central band there are half of the spin up and half down. Since we compute, when are up we say n equal 1, when are down 0, it means that in the central band the sum of ni must be n over 2. So this we know, the total sum. So it means that in this distribution there is only one free parameter, which is beta, which is temperature. So we have only one free parameter, which we can try to obtain, and if there is such a distribution. So the question is, let us look at actual distribution and compare with this, taking a single eigenstate. So I don't make any average. I take one eigenstate, and again, the situation you see, it depends very much in which regime you are, whether you are close to integral regime or where inside the Poisson, the Wiener-Dyson or chaotic regime. So you see, if the perturbation is small here, then the exact state, your state, is close to a register state, and then the Ni, the strongly fluctuate, they can be or 1 or 0. There are no choice. So either are 1, either are 0, and this is description of integral regime. But when you increase your perturbation, you go in the regime of between comma quantum chaos, then you see that you obtain a close correspondence to Fermi-Dirac distribution. And there is another point, that in this regime, it does, if you go from one eigenfunction to the next one, this distribution is very stable. And this is important. This doesn't happen here. Here, if you go from one state to another, you can have a jump from a point from 1 to 0 and vice versa. But in this case, when you reach this regime of thermalization that I see then, you have a stability of the distribution and you have a good agreement with Fermi-Dirac distribution. Next question is, if for such a system without thermal bath, because I'm discussing, I remember, an isolated system, there is no thermal bath, whether you can introduce a temperature. So here I already defined the Fermi-Dirac temperature, which can compute, which we have computed before by looking at the occupation number distribution. What I can do, I can introduce a canonical temperature, which is given by the canonical ensemble, which is here. Yeah. So here I can define, I can find a canonical temperature for the same system, and it is quite nice that the two curves, it means a continuous curve here, and the circle, they lie on the same line. So it means that the Fermi-Dirac temperature and the canonical temperature, they coincide. So I think we can draw the conclusion, the fact that these two temperatures coincide, is the conclusion is that the intercubit coupling plays the same role as an external thermal bath. We don't have bath, but still in isolated system we have good coincidence of these two temperatures, canonical temperature and Fermi-Dirac temperature. We have tried also to compute the thermodynamic temperature, namely 1 over T or derivative entropy to respect to the energy. And thermodynamic entropy is not so good. It's this dashed line here. Well, it goes close, but not enough. And the reason, we think, is that in this case, the total energy, because of the interaction, it is not sum of Ni delta I, but it is also the interaction energy. And so this makes this this deviation here. So
which density of states did you use? Was that just a pre-particle density?
Yes. So, but this means that at least the conclusion from here is that this intercubit coupling played the role of thermal bath, and this is last transparent. Well, this is work is you can find here. It will appear in, on the journal, European Journal of Physics, yeah. B. You can define a parameter sigma which measure how good, how close is your numerical distribution to the Fermi-Dirac. So this is a different square root. It's just some parameter. If it is zero, it means that you are very close to Fermi-Dirac. Yeah. And again, here is a result. Here I plot sigma against this parameter Jn over delta. And again, for different qubits. So you see it goes from larger value down to zero. So it means that you are not thermalized. And you are here it means that you are close to Fermi-Dirac distribution. And again, as you increase the number of qubits, this point goes down and this goes up, leading hopefully to some thermodynamic scenario in which you have a border here. And what is nice is that this border, which is the border for thermalization, yeah, it coincides with a good accuracy with the border for transition from Poisson to Wiener-Dyson. So this in some sense is a nice result because I have one set of computation in which I look at the level spacing distribution, here I look at thermalization, and I found results which are in good agreement. Which, after all, it is not, if you want to comment, it is not strange, actually it is expected, because when you have Wiener-Dyson statistic, you have that eigenfunction spreads over a large number of this basic state, the register state, and you don't have fluctuation. Fluctuation goes down as one of square root of n. And on the other hand, if we have Poisson statistic, then you mean that you have in your system and the spectrum some parts which are uncoupled, and then you don't have thermalization. So this is somehow, it is quite expected, but it is nice to observe that the two things, chaos borders and thermalization borders, somehow coincide. So as you see, we are trying to understand the dynamics, the quantum dynamics of this system. And last point, I'm to the end, I just want to show briefly what we have done on this SOTU map. So we have taken this map, now you know, it is this, I already described, here is there is variable n and theta, but you know, if you put p equal nt Here are two parameters. You can reduce, you know this, about with only one parameter. So there is only one parameter which matters, which is this capital K. Yeah. It determines classical motion. And more precisely, if you look at this map, it turns out that it is exponentially unstable when K is positive or is negative but less than minus 4. If it is between 0 and minus 4, then there is a kind of anomalous motion. There are islands of stability, there is anomalous diffusion, and so on. And we choose a case inside this interval, between 0 and minus 4, and we took a value k equal minus 1 for our exercise. See? So we take k is equal minus 1. So this is classical, the quantum map you know, because you had previous talk by Giorgio and by Szczepaniansky, that there is an operator which one kick. So this is a free rotation, this is the kick. We take h bar equal 1, which is not a problem, because the classical limit you can reach letting t equal 0 and k to infinite and keeping the classical parameter constant. So this is one way to do. And so if you want to solve the quantum algorithm, as you know, you need one way to do, which is at least the most efficient way, is to take notice that the kick, there is a kick which is diagonal in this theta representation, the free rotation which is diagonal momentum representation. Yeah, so Theo, you know all these things, so you don't need to look. So basically, we have multiplication, you go from one representation to another via fast Fourier transform, so the number of operations, it goes fast Fourier and log n, this is everything you know about this. So this is what to do with a standard algorithm to compute, to solve the quantum, so to map, and here is what we do with the quantum algorithm. Yeah, this is described in this preprint here, this work. Basically, what you do with the quantum code, you have the free rotation. You can reduce the free rotation to NQ 2-qubit gates, control phase shift gates. And then you have to make Fourier transform. Fourier transform also requires basically NQ square gate. And then you go again the kick. The kick is the same as in the other because it has the same dependence. Here is theta square, here is n square. So basically, you can do all your operation one kick with the order of n square q gate, which means logarithm of n instead of n log n. So you have an exponential gain of in your computation, and as I say, here is described. Here I want just to make few remarks. Let me make a few remarks. Well, first, this is a result obtained. So, let me say, this is a classical map. And this is a quantum result with 6-qubit, 9-qubit, 16-qubit. Here is the plotting is done at t equal 1000. T equal 1000, k is equal minus 1. And you can see some structure with the... So this is a result of computer, yeah? Another question is what to obtain from this, what to extract from this, but this is just what you've done, and these are pictures which are obtained from Zimi function without quantum algorithm. But there are interesting questions. For example, you may ask about the influence of imperfection. And this is some interesting result, because if you look, here is the same as before, but on the left column, there is the system without imperfection here, and on the right column there is the integration with imperfection. You see that there is some bad things. With imperfection, you see that there is the main point, you see that the main structure is preserved, but you see the probability is injected inside the island. There is a quite not negligible injection of probability. And this is different from the classical, because if you do the classical, it is more... is bad, in the sense that in the classical case, this is the classical picture. If I introduce error in the classical case, 10 to the minus 3, round off error, then I obtain some probability try to penetrate inside the island. So you see the picture I obtain, because there is an error. But in the quantum case, it's much worse. And the point is that here there is some diffusion inside, but in the quantum case, error can make to the one spin to flip up and down. And if there is a flip of one spin, it can transfer probability far. And so it can lead to this result, which are not, are quite visible. But still, after all, the main structure is preserved. And you see, for example, if you are interested in localization problem, you can see that somehow there is... here, red means high probability, blue means very low probability, zero. So this is the colors, yeah? So you can see there is some concentration probability in momentum, and you can extract some information, yeah? The last thing I want to mention is that, and then I close, we measured the... we computed the fidelity of our sink, comparing the evolution with exact state or with imperfection. So this f of t is what is called the fidelity. For small perturbation, it decays with a Gaussian e to the minus alpha t squared. And this is a imperfection due to static imperfection. I want to stress only one fact before closing, that we compare the effect of static imperfection with the effect of noisy gates. So this is static imperfection. We introduce also noisy gates, which mean putting imperfection, static imperfection equals zero, but from gate to gate choosing random delta I, random independent. So it's just a way to simulate the noisy gates. And if you compute the fidelity, here what is plotted here is the fidelity time scale, which is made in the following. You compute fidelity as a function of time. You define TF when F of TF equals some constant, let's say 0.9. Yeah? So this gives the scale. If TF is small, it means the fidelity is bad. And so this is the result, is a comparison between the fidelity time scale due to static imperfection and due to noisy gates. And the result, at least come out from here, is that static imperfection are more dangerous than noisy gates because time scale of fidelity is lower. Yeah? So you see that this is, they have more effect, the static imperfection, than the noisy gate. That's all we've done, is I think it is the first step in this, but is what we could obtain, at least in this case. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
In a true setting, you would have also a long range interaction. And I guess this would dramatically change the result. I mean, this border will get very smaller.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you introduce long range interaction, yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's already difficult in studying this. Okay, interaction.
Yes.
What do you want, the picture of Fermi Dirac or the thermalization? This is thermalization border. This is the other one, which is about the comparison of different temperature, and this is a distribution of occupation number. Yes.
So, you're looking at the distribution of these register states compared to the middle eigenstate of the actual Hamiltonian?
No, I take an eigenstate of the exact eigenstate.
Right.
With this exact eigenstate, I compute the occupation number. So I take only one eigenstate of my system, and then I compute the I project over a perturbed state, or resistor state, and I compute the occupation number. So the point I obtain are this circle. So it is clear that if I'm in a very near to the interval regime, I'm close to a resistor state, then I have either one or zero. But instead, if I go up in the regime of what is called quantum chaos, you obtain instead a stable distribution which is close to Fermi-Dirac. So this is
Thank you. Okay.